Sharon Kay. It's about newsmakers, movers and shakers, inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411 with Sharon Kay. What a way to make your day. Sharon Kay is on the way.
Hi, this is Andrew Young from Atlanta, Georgia. And all over the country, no matter where I go, people are talking about What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
I just appreciate you so very much. Let me say hello to Nashville, all of our wonderful people. And let's also say hey, hey to the global family listening at WFSKFM.org. And during our segment on the broadcast of station to station communication, we're going to have a chat this afternoon, so I want to say hello to everybody at Wilberforce, Ohio, at Central State University, who is going to be with us on the show today, as well as any family members of theirs who might be listening to see what we're going to be talking about. We are happy to have you on this take you home ride this Wednesday afternoon. And X, is it hot enough for you yet, or you want it hotter?
It is hot outside.
It is ridiculous.
It is hot.
I'm ready for somebody to turn the fire down, turn the furnace down. I mean, turn the thing down, because it has been blazing in this area, and many people are ready for the start of fall next week, and I say it can't get here fast enough.
Come on.
I know it. Move it, move it. And we have our Take You Home Traffic Report coming up this hour, as well as another action-packed 411 show. We'll be hearing about after our community news from Glenn Machen. He's an estate planner and elder law attorney. We're going to talk, amongst the other things, with Glenn about the Queen of Souls estate planning mistakes. And you know the Queen made some, because they're still fighting and feuding over the Queen's money. And you know how family feuds are in the funeral and all that, and who gets what, and if somebody's going to be mad, a whole bunch of folk going to be mad. But anyway, we'll talk with him about that and some tips and things on estate planning and what you need to think about now so your relatives won't be mad at each other, because, you know, they will be. Over the slightest little thing. Trust me, I know. Anyway, and then at the following hour, at 5 o'clock hour, Charles Starks is going to be in the studio with me. He is the president and chief executive officer of the beautiful Music City Center in downtown Nashville. So we got a full deck of all kinds of information for you this afternoon. I had mentioned to my audience here at WFSK in Nashville at Fisk University about our station-to-station communication that we will be doing officially with Central State University. A couple of years ago, we did a communication during a disaster with the station at the HBCU station in Houston, and we're happy to have some agreement amongst ourselves as GM to GM. And I want to introduce Dr. Robert Franklin. He's the general manager of WCSU FM at Central State University in Wilberforce, Ohio. Dr. Franklin, how are you today?
A very pleasant good afternoon to you, Sharon, and all your great listeners of WFSK. I'm doing great, and we are ready for some action here from the Wilberforce campus, in particular WCSU. We and my students, we stand ready.
Oh, super. Now, for I'm going to do some quick questions before I start talking about what the discussion we'll have on a little bit of history and a project that the students are helping work on from your region. I think that is actually going to be interesting to others. Can you give us a quick thumbnail on Central State University, WCSU-FM, in particular? You know, you're in the HBCU family, but give us just a capsule on that, please.
Certainly. Thank you very much. WCSU, licensed to Central State University, is the nation's first historically black college and university radio station, licensed in 1962. Our particular format here is news, information, entertainment, but we stress education, and we are happy to be associated with HBCU stations around the country, in particular here in Wilberforce, Ohio. We're happy with some of our productions here, our student productions, as well as our community productions. And we're excited about furthering our relationship with WFSK in the not-too-distant future, like right now.
Well, you know, in addition to that, we kind of brought a little flavor from your university in following another tragedy that happened in another city. And this time when we talked, Dr. Franklin, or I heard from your part of the country, I wanted it to be about something that wasn't involving disaster or violence. So I'm happy today to say that we will be talking really about nothing current in our discussion. We'll be talking about a historic act of nature from many years ago. And Dr. Franklin, you have been around HBCU media, radio, and television for many years. Your career goes back quite a ways now, doesn't it?
So it's not to date myself, not too far back, but it does go back a number of years. Thank you, yes.
Well, you know, it's okay. My audience knows I'm grown. I'm not trying to pretend to be a kid. They know the grown folks are in the house. But I will say that you are seasoned and understand the significance of having persons of color in communications, and know that we must prep up and keep them ready at all times to have careers in communication, and that is what you do there at Central State. Now, and your school was founded when?
We're 1890 land-grant institution. WCSU was founded, licensed in 1962.
Okay. So the university was founded, land-grant, 1890. Radio station came in 62.
Correct.
Okay. Now, just for the sake of knowledge, and then we're going to go into the subject matter, this radio station's relationship to us, to me, means a lot because of the fact it was the first HBCU radio stations licensed to have a federal license. Now, I have a Cracker Jack box, but from the Federal Communications Commission. So I have a great deal of respect for this station and this facility, because you all know good and well I love black history. Now, Dr. Franklin, your students are participating in research and are the producers on a new documentary about a great flood that happened in Dayton, Ohio, and this was such a long time ago. Let's have you introduce the students, please, and let them tell us where they're from and what year they are in Central State University.
Absolutely. I'm going to defer to the young lady and then the young man to have them introduce themselves to your listening audience. The young lady will go first.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having us on your radio station, Ms. Kay. It is really an honor to be able to share our story and our project with you all. First off, my name is Raven. I am from the Gem City, Dayton, Ohio, just a town away, and I am a junior here at Central State University.
Hello, Ms. Kay. Thank you for allowing us on, and to the people of Nashville, Tennessee, nice to talk to you. My name is Jameson Washington. I am a senior majoring in communications. And I am a co-producer of the documentary.
Okay, excellent. Well, I'm happy to have you all. I feel very honored to have your distinguished of the future selves on the broadcast. You could say, I had my first interview with Miss K on WFSK in Nashville when your documentary goes on and does well. Now, the great flood of Dayton of 1913, there are many people who've never heard of this before and do not know much about it. Let me ask you, Raven, how did you gain the knowledge on it, and is it discussed a lot in that region?
Actually, I had heard briefly about it, just being that I am from Dayton. So just a little bit of history was taught to us kind of in elementary school, but it wasn't until I actually took this class and got to meet with the author, Mr. Freeman, and really read his book and really get to know the untold stories of the flood that I really got a full picture of what really happened back then. And it was very eye-opening and enlightening.
Now, Jameson, was it because of the unsung heroes who happened to be black men that piqued your interest, or what was it about this segment of history and this time frame?
Yes, the 500 black men that were not mentioned in history was definitely something that caught my attention, just because it seems like now that America has a unique way of kind of omitting us from history in a way, and it wasn't until Mr. Johnny Freeman, so he came in and spoke to us about the 500 men that were left out and what they meant to the city of Dayton and the rebuilding of it. It piqued my interest, and it's really an honor to kind of be able to tell their story, unfiltered, and shed light on them.
So knowing that's the case, Raven, when you found out that there were that many black men that were part of this important thing to save that city, did you say, well, that's typical? I mean, what was your thought on that?
Well, if I can be honest with you, I was angry at first.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like that's not fair, that those men's stories should be told. Those men were real. They had families. They mm-hmm. had real lives mm-hmm. that was just as equal to anyone else's lives. So I was very shocked and appalled that their stories weren't out there. But it also gave me a fire and determination to learn about them, to learn about who they were and mm-hmm. what they accomplished, and really, get to kind of tell their story.
Mm-hmm. And for you, Jameson, how do you feel in telling the story? Or how proud are you of them and what they did to save that area?
I'm extremely excited and proud to, I would even say share the same skin color as them, mm-hmm. to be able to speak on this and kind of correct a historical oversight, and I guess kind of make history by correcting history.
Yeah.
So I'm excited.
Yeah. Mr. Producer on the other side. I'm talking to X.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to hold them 2 more minutes right after this traffic.
Okay.
So, Dr. Franklin, stand by, because I didn't get to ask how it turned out. And I can't let y'all go until I find that. So, hang on 1 second to our friends at WCSU in Wilberforce, Ohio. Hang on. We got to take this traffic report and get our latest on the roads and the conditions around Nashville. Commander Chuck is standing by. And Chuck, no rain, no wind, just hot in Nashville.
Ooh, no, that's an understatement.
It's like, turn it down, please, turn it down.
Is it July?
Yeah, oh my gosh, man. Oh, now see, come a couple of months from now, we're going to be crying for this day.
Of course.
How are we doing this afternoon, Chuck?
Hey, Sharon, good afternoon. It's picked up quite a bit now here on the South Loop, the West Loop. We're looking at heavy traffic now. It's trying to slide south of town, 65 down into Williamson County. There's just been a crash at Briley at Dickerson Pike. Still working with that wreck at the intersection of Andrew Jackson Parkway at Tyler Drive. That's going to be out in Hermitage. If you know anything about that intersection, you know it's busy enough as it is trying to squeak through there. Traffic's really picked up in the last few minutes now out here at Ellington Parkway trying to get north of the city. This traffic report is brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken. 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. And being brought to you by Nashville General Hospital at Meharry. September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Did you know African American men are more likely to develop and die from prostate cancer than any other population? Thanks to Astellas Pharma USA, Nashville General Hospital is pleased to offer no-cost prostate cancer screenings for men over 40. Call 615-391-4227 and make an appointment today. It could save your life. 615-341-4227. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on. Jazzy 88 WFSK, historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance, and being brought to you by Nashville Hospital at Meharry. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. Now, we're getting some information on a documentary that's going to be coming out soon on the Great Flood of 1913 in Dayton, Ohio, and more than 500 or about 500 African-American men, unsung heroes in this. You know, to me as a grown person, it's like, what else is new? We're unsung heroes in a lot of things. But I'm glad that the students there, along with their professor, are working on this worthy project, and we're happy to have Raymond and Jameson with us, as well as Dr. Robert Franklin, and he is the general manager of WCSU Radio, also a professor in the communications department there. Now, before the break, I see you've got my brain, you know, just going to town here, because I'm like, this is not enough time. I need to find out more about this flood and what these people did. And, you know, I like to hear about these heroes. And I know there had to be some, I know there was men, so it had to be some women somewhere. There got to be a shero somewhere. They had to eat. So, you know, somebody had to get the get the food going, and somebody had to help them with this and go out there and do that, because the way we do and the way things are set up, particularly during 1913. So let me go back to you, Raven. And being so you're in this mindset of today's world, did you wonder how they communicated with those people? Or can you give us enough of the story in a short to explain how they were able to gather 500 men from outside the region?
Yeah, they pretty much were looking for men outside of the disaster zone. So a lot of the men came from Chicago. Some came from Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. and some came from small parts of Indiana, and they literally gave them train fare, mm-hmm. and shipped them on up to Dayton, Ohio to get to working. The men, they set up campsites in kind of rural areas of the city, and were kind of, their living conditions were definitely questionable. Mm-hmm. We'll say that. Mm-hmm. But that's pretty much how they got here.
Okay, and Jameson, when you were conducting the research, was it at all amazing to you that they were able to communicate, get the message out about the disaster, knowing what it was like in communication in 1913? And plus being black then, and America being what America was then. Was that an amazing thing that you've discovered in your research on this project?
Yeah, it was amazing. Just, you know, usually when great disasters like that happen, communication kind of ceases to happen. So for them to, you know, extend communication and for them to react in a timely manner, to make it to Dayton from Chicago and like you said, different areas of like Indianapolis and surrounding areas, make it down that fast, it was, you know, quite amazing. Just kind of, it really is a testament to who they were as people to respond that fast and want to help, drop everything and help.
Yeah, definitely. So, Dr. Franklin, let me say to you in the as I bring this to a close, before we do end, I want my student intern, Miss Sonia Fry, to be in this quick discussion with the other students from another HBCU. And I had you do a search on it, a quick check on the flood. And you were like, Miss Kay, your eyes open. I said, you know, we're in the radio business. We got to be ready at all times. So do you have a question for those students there that you know are up for the challenge?
Yes. First of all, just knowing that you guys are doing this, this really inspires me. And it just makes me so proud. Both of us, we're attending HBCUs, and we have the privilege to do that, and we have the privilege to do things like that. So I'm just ecstatic and super happy. But my question is, in doing this research and this project, like, what elements of it have inspired you in your everyday life as black men and black women? Because I know as a student, everyday things inspire me. I get inspiration from my everyday life. So how has that inspired you?
Well, I can kind of go first on that one. I think just knowing that you're doing what's right, regardless if you get recognition for it or not, you're going to do what's right. You're going to stick to your moral codes, your ethics code, how you were raised, and that's what those young men and women did. They did what was right. They saved people on little rowboats. They just went around town saving people from rooftops. They did what they knew was right to make a difference, and it just kind of pushes me to continue to do what we know is right to make a difference in our own communities and with the own people that are around us.
For me personally, I think it really showed me what it was, how it is to be compassionate. I think this book really does a good job of showing what compassion is. Hopefully you guys read the book. And what stuck out was a story about, to me, was a seven-year-old girl who wrote a letter to the mayor at the time. And she had got a dime from her daddy for whatever she did. And she mailed it to the mayor and said she just wanted to donate a dime to another child who may have lost their home in the flood. So that type of compassion is, I think, something that reminded me, like, that's why we're here. You know, that this book reminded me of it, and beautiful.
Excellent. Dr. Franklin, I'm just really tickled to death that, you know, we have these articulate students. I just don't know what to do. I just want to say thank you, Lord. We are these wonderful students.
Well, you know, we feel blessed that we are passing the torch on to outstanding students, the two that you just heard and the young lady that you just featured. We have our students back in class. They're listening to this live stream. They're inspired. They're very, very positive and talented young people. I think the our media portion of it, Sharon, yours and mine, it's in good hands. I think the torch that we're passing on to these young people will be in good hands, and I think these students in this production, this documentary, will make us all proud. And
absolutely,
you know, come back and give you a report at some in the not too distant future.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I look forward to the report that we're going to give from WFSK to WCSU very soon. And we can tell our own stories, y'all. And that's the proof of station-to-station communication between the station at Wilbur Forest at Central State University, WCSU, and WFSK, Historic Fisk University, Nashville. Dr. Franklin, all my best to you and to the family there, the Central State family. And we'll be talking to you very soon. You all did a superb job.
Thank you very much, and our very best to you and your guys there and ladies at Fisk University. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. That was Dr. Robert Franklin. He's the general manager, and we're not competitors. We're working toward a goal of trying to inform, uplift, educate, et cetera, and grateful for the opportunity to do it. So we're going to continue having our dialogues, and I'm working on my stuff on this end that we're going to be doing with them. I got several things I want to feature out of Nashville, off the campus, and other things in the city of Nashville that I will be bringing to my reports when I file my reports from our campus to theirs. So you don't have to hear it from the mainstream. You're hearing it from folks that look just like you. That's what's up. Okay? Now, we had the traffic report. We've had our community news from Ohio. And now it's time to get some information to help us plan estates and elder law. And if you have a family member that is getting older, or you yourself are, then having this type of information, or at least having the discussion, ought to be important to you. So that's why I'm glad that this guest and topic is coming on, although it does involve partially some of the Queen of Souls mistakes. But I mean, I think we can all learn from some of the things that she did and didn't do. And that's why I'm happy to welcome to the show today elder law attorney, estate planning attorney, Glenn Machen. And Glenn, how are you today?
Sharon, I am great. How are you today?
I'm excellent. I knew you were going to give us the the 411 on it. So I said, we're going to learn some stuff this afternoon, and not to make some mistakes that people keep making over and over again.
Absolutely.
Now, I know that additionally, we're also going to spend a few moments discussing your upcoming book, and we'll get to that. But can you give us a little background on how long you've been around in this business and some things that you've seen, some trends that disturb you in estate planning or lack of, and elder law?
Yes, I can do that. I have been doing this now for 30 years as an estate planning and elder law attorney. I am one of a handful of what they call a certified elder law attorney.
Mm-hmm.
There's only about 500 in the nation out of millions of attorneys across the nation. And you talk about trends. I think there's a couple of things you have to split out. What we would call estate planning from elder law. Estate planning is more your will, your trust, your powers of attorney, your medical directives. Elder law tends to go into how are we going to protect someone as they age. Sometimes that's protection from physical abuse. Sometimes it's protection from financial, emotional abuse. Sometimes that's protection from the costs of a nursing home or other long-term care.
Mm-hmm.
And what I have seen as far as the trends, I think it's been pretty consistent on the estate planning side that people don't plan ahead of time. And so we talked a little bit about Prince. Mm-hmm. Prince died now 3 years ago.
Right.
And his estate is still open.
Yeah.
$10 million of attorney fees later. They're still, trying to clean things up.
Mm.
You mentioned the Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, from my hometown of Detroit. $80 million estate, but, unfortunately, and fantastic presence, but she did not plan her estate well.
Mm.
And I think, some people might say to us, well, I'm not Prince or I'm not Aretha Franklin,
right,
but it is very common for all of us to not plan ahead and do the things we need to do, because these aren't, you have this on, and I congratulate you for having these topics on, because they're tough to talk about. People don't want to talk about nursing homes and growing older and passing away. And so, this to me is, these are important topics, and you have to bring them to the forefront.
Well, and, you know, people are reading the salacious headlines and the things saying, oh, my goodness, why didn't they do thus and so? And it's really never in the atmosphere until you see something like what the two celebrities that you just described, because a lot of other celebrities seem to go through the same thing. And although they do have a lot more, but some of these things seem kind of common, that no matter how much money you have or don't have, the same mistakes keep coming up with this, you know, and that is not being prepared, right?
That's correct. And I think there's two main reasons. I think we procrastinate. I think humans procrastinate, and mm-hmm. that's just the nature of what we do and how we do things. But especially when we come to these, you know, these tougher topics, we put them off and put them off. And, you know, whether you're famous, whether you're not famous, people do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the other side of it, I think there's a lot of apprehension. There's misinformation out there. There's confusion, and people don't necessarily, they feel maybe intimidating walking into a lawyer's office and sitting down and talking. And that's really the first step to get you beyond that, mm-hmm. that procrastination, is just figure out where you are and where you want to be.
Well, and is part of this, as in Aretha and Prince and even regular Janes and Joes, is part of this not wanting to deal with the fact that you're going to die?
It is, and it's and the two situations, Prince and Aretha, are a little different. Prince was very sudden and unexpected. Aretha Franklin had pancreatic cancer, and she knew for a long time. And so I do think that you just sometimes put it in the, you know, in on the back burner, and I'll get to it tomorrow, and you know, your brain just doesn't want to deal with the fact that you're gonna, you know, nobody's got out alive yet, so you and me included. So we're all gonna go at some point. Mm-hmm. So I think that it makes sense to plan for it.
And plus that, there's no such thing as human dinosaurs.
That is true.
We're not living forever. And
yes.
Now, let's say somebody who is been married a long time. What do you suggest? How soon should they start? And does that set up a dynamic? Let's say, for example, the person that might get a little windfall. Minds sometimes aren't always on the good side of good. And if you know someone knows that, you know, they might get paid, have you seen that speed up?
Yes. And so I guess there's two sides of it that we look at. And, mm-hmm. and if you know, I kind of take a step back and look at it as like a pyramid. And there's four levels to the pyramid that everybody really should take into account
mm-hmm.
In their planning. And the first one is, it's interesting because a lot of people come into my office and say, hey, Glenn, you know, I want to talk about where to leave my bank account or my house when I pass away. But I think that the first level of the pyramid is incapacity. What are we going to do with you while you're here? If something goes wrong, you're lying in a hospital, how do we deal with your money, your bank account, your house? How do we deal with your medical decisions? And those, I think you have to be a little selfish first to say, we have to take care of ourselves first, and then we start to worry about where things are going to go after we're gone. So even for those who don't have a lot of assets, I think that base amount of planning, your normal power of attorney,
mm-hmm.
your medical directives you need in place. Otherwise, there's going to be a judge stepping in to, you know, to make those decisions for you, and you really don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know, that's the kind of the first level, making sure that you're taken care of if you're physically here and mentally gone.
So, you know, it makes sense that you compared the two, you know, with the illnesses Aretha and Prince had. And Aretha knew she had cancer, and she didn't just get it and then the next day go home to the Lord, but she knew had time. There was some, how far should she have begun to, you know, instead of these handwritten notes you'd be reading about, should she have sat down with an attorney and knew that day was going to come?
Yeah, so it's interesting. Her attorney, I know, has come out and said that he tried to get her to do something but was unsuccessful. Here's where there's kind of two sweet spots that I think people are in. The sweet spot, the first one is when you have a child. And so if you're, you know, 20, 21, 25, 30, whenever you have that first child, that is really, really important to sit down and at least have a base plan, okay? What happens if I'm incapacitated? Who's going to be the guardian of my child, which is really like a substitute parent? Mm-hmm. And at that point, that's really important because family members under the law, they all have equal priority. So you might have two sets of parents or you might have siblings, you know, brothers, sisters. Now all of a sudden somebody, you got a custody battle over your own child if you can't handle things. So I think the first sweet spot is when you're young and when you have young children, because you also, you know, from my standpoint, at least, you don't want them to have any money when they're, you know, 15 years old or 18 years old. You want it to be used for, you know, college or, you know, other things that would be more productive than what maybe an 18-year-old would spend money on. So I think that's the first sweet spot, and I think the second sweet spot is as we get towards 60. You know, certainly in between you can plan, but the ones we see are very early, and then as people get past 60 years old, you start to contemplate life, and you start to contemplate, you know, maybe parents have passed away, you might have had a sibling that passed away, and at that point, I think we call them trigger events. Mm-hmm. People will say, you know what, I just want to be prepared, and so, you know, those are the two that we see. And then I think you mentioned early, when someone has a an event in their life, either a family event or a money event. So when you receive an inheritance yourself, you might turn around and look and say, okay, now it's my job to be a good steward of that inheritance and pass it on to, you know, to my children or my loved ones, and you can plan at that point.
Okay, when we come back from the break, I want to ask you about, in Aretha's case, it was handwritten notes and stuff that she had laying around. And some people, that's as good as it's going to get. And if that's the case, what does that really mean, okay? I'm also going to be checking with you about your upcoming book. That's exciting news to hear about that. Let me remind the audience that my guest is attorney Glenn Machen, and he is a certified estate planner and elder law attorney. And we're having this discussion about something a lot of people don't want to talk about. But we have to have it. Let's take a time out. I want to remind you that if you have a question or comment for Glenn, it's 615-329-8810. Questions or comments, 615-329-8810. Now let's take the time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance. And being brought to you by Nashville General Hospital at Meharry. September is Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Did you know African American men are more likely to develop and die from prostate cancer than any other population? Thanks to Astellas Pharma USA, Nashville General Hospital is pleased to offer no-cost prostate cancer screenings for men over 40. Call 615-391-4227 and make an appointment today. It could save
save your life. 615-341-4227.
Good afternoon. Heavy traffic on the South Loop, the West Loop, trying to get out of downtown. There's been another wreck in the construction zone there, 440 East near Hillsboro Pike. It's already busy enough through there as it is. It's really picked up now on 65 down into Brentwood. Also now on 24 as you leave Nashville, headed out to Murfreesboro. This traffic report is brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken. They're located at 5814 Nolensville Pike. That's Prince's Hot Chicken. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
On the next Jazz Night in America, I sit down one-on-one with my old friend from Philly, organist Joey DeFrancesco.
And when I see you, man, it's the first thing I think is Philadelphia.
We're home.
We're home. I love it, man.
Plus music from Joey's trio at Dizzy's Club and a sneak peek of his upcoming recording. On the next Jazz Night in America, I'm Christian McBride. Catch Jazz Night in America every Sunday from 2 to 3 p.m. and Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m. here at listener-supported Jazzy 88.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All right, in Nashville, Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And Commander Chuck will be along here again to give us our traffic report, take you home report, and hopefully get you there all in one piece and not all freaked out. Because you know that rush hour traffic can really stress your nerves out sometime. Anyway, right now, I'm having a conversation with Glenn R. Machen, a state planning, elder law, and veterans benefits attorney. And there's a lot that we have been discussing in terms of when estate planning is not done, if you're at the Aretha Franklin Queen of Soul level, and if you're at the regular Jane and Joe level. And there are similarities, Attorney Glenn said, and differences. But one thing that struck me was the Glenn was the handwritten notes thing. That is so old school, I don't know what else is. And you know, that just reminds me of something that old, that, you know, our families and grandmas and mamas and them would do, and not trust an estate planner. Were you surprised by that?
Well, yes, I think everybody was surprised by that, because what first happened when Aretha passed is nobody knew about these wills, or supposed wills. They're still determining whether whether they are wills, and they opened up what's called an intestate estate, and that means an estate with no will. And when they did that, the estate started to move along in the court system, mm-hmm. and then they discovered three versions of handwritten documents that may or may not be considered valid wills. One was under a couch seat cushion, and the others were in a locked cabinet, and so they really have a real mess now, because they opened it up with no, you know, with no will, and now they've got three different ones. And it's interesting. Most states have what's rules relating to what they call a holographic will. So if you date it, and if you handwrite it, and if you sign it at the bottom, generally speaking, that's going to be a valid will. And is it the best type of planning? No, it's not the best type of planning, especially in her case, because she crossed out a bunch of things and, you know, rewrote things and X'd things out and added new things. And so so it gets confusing as to what she really intended. But, you know, you can technically handwrite your own will if you choose to do that. I mean, again, not the best way to do it, but it is one way.
So, Aretha's situation, I think many families could relate to. She had children by different, they had different fathers, a couple of boys.
She did.
And in those relationships she had with them, she was happy or not happy.
That's the nature of relationships, I think, sometimes, right?
Yes. But, I mean, you know, I think, did I read this or somebody make sure they don't get anything or something like that to that effect, one of them.
Yes, yes. And she also did have a, she's got one son who has a disability, mm-hmm. so he's a special needs son. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that, you know, sometimes takes special planning. But yes, so no, relationships, especially, as you said, we'll call it kind of the hybrid family relationships mm-hmm. where there's, you know, kids from different parents, it becomes a little, even a little trickier to plan.
Yeah. Well, have you seen that ever play out where, if it is a woman and she didn't really hated her ex and had a child by him, that they, you know, shorted out the other one, or was it equally divided?
So the yes, no, we've seen that happen, and most of the time it happens when the children are minors, because what would happen is if, let's say in your example, the woman passed away and she mm-hmm. left money to a, you know, a minor child, guess who gets to watch over that money? Mm-hmm. The hated ex-husband. Mm-hmm. And so we will, in those cases, we'll use a special type of trust to set the money aside, have somebody else watch over it. Mm-hmm. I would rather not, you know, most of the time we don't want to disinherit children. You know, there are specific circumstances where people do, mm-hmm. but most of the time you want your children to be taken care of, and so mm-hmm. we just have to set that up in a special type of trust mm-hmm. to avoid the ex-husband.
And then does that work if one, let's say for multiple marriages, one husband you got along with, you're divorced, you liked him kind of better than the other one. Does it play?
Why did you divorce him then?
Well, right? I mean, you just couldn't live with him, okay? You're friends and y'all are cool, but I just don't want to be married to you. But, I mean, you know, these situations happen. And do people, when they make their determinations on, is it percentages, how it's based, is that what it is?
It is. Most of the time it's percentages, because you really don't know exactly what you're going to have at the time you pass. And mm-hmm. so, you know, if you've got four children, and, you know, whether they're from the same, you know, or different fathers, you say 25% each. If you have, you know, $100, they each get $25. If you have $100,000, they mm-hmm. each get $25,000. We sometimes get into trouble when they say, well, I want my, you know, son John to have $10,000, mm-hmm. and then the rest of it goes to the kids equally. Well, what if there's only $10,000 left at the time you pass? Mm-hmm. You know, now you've got a problem. So usually we use percentages. Sometimes we'll do smaller amounts to grandchildren or other people.
Mm-hmm. Now, and since we don't know how many days we have on Earth, I guess there's no such thing as saying I'm going to wait till I get old, because you might not make it.
No, that is true.
I'm certain that that's part of your conversation and your discussion. How soon do you say is too soon? And if you don't have much, what difference does it make?
So the difference, first of all, it's kind of like the question about when should I buy life insurance, right? Mm-hmm. It's you have to buy it, you know, before you're gone, and while you can still qualify. But from our standpoint, it's never too early. Once we even do what's called a college planning package, because if you have a child that goes off to school at age mm-hmm. 18. Mm-hmm. and, for example, gets in a car accident, is now lying in the hospital in a coma, well, guess what? As mom and dad, you don't have that legal right to walk in and just find out private medical information anymore, because that child's an adult. Mm. And so it's never too early to start. And I would say this to you as far as the lack of assets. That has to do with maybe a will or a trust. It doesn't have anything to do with the incapacity, because if someone who has no assets is in a car accident and lying in the hospital, They still need somebody to carry out their wishes, make medical treatment decisions for them, whether they have a dime in their pocket or not. And if they don't put that person in charge, then a judge is going to put a person in charge, and it may not be the person they want.
Mm-hmm. So when you see things happening and the person that did their will or their estate planning was much younger, and then, because I've seen, heard about situations like this where later on in life, they end up not being the one that's there and helping or taking care of them to the bitter end. And the person who wasn't there ends up being the administrator or being over anything. I've heard about that more multiple times. When that happens, I guess there's nothing you can do about it, huh?
Well, it's tough because these are living, breathing documents. Mm-hmm. So what we do for our clients is we do an annual checkup. And, of course, your family changes, your money changes, mm-hmm. your health changes, the law changes, and we want to make sure that you look at it every year and say, yes, we still feel the same. Mm-hmm. We've had, and I know that you've probably noticed, that the children are spreading out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like everybody lives in the same house or next door or down the street like it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've got, you know, people has a child in California and mm-hmm. one in, you know, Philadelphia and one in Detroit still. And now, you know, all of a sudden, you know, things change over the years and you have to just keep your plan updated as things change.
Definitely. Now, coming up in October, Glenn, your book comes out, Protecting Your Family from Probate and Long-Term Care Costs. Is probate a bad thing?
Probate is normally a bad thing, and let me tell you why. So probate is the court, and probate is the court overseeing your life.
Mm.
And generally speaking, we want to keep the court and the government out of our lives and let the people we love, you know, our spouses, our children, mm-hmm. our other loved ones, in those decision-making places. And so and there's two types of probate. There's a probate, I think, that everybody thinks about it when somebody passes away, and let's say you have a house just in your name,
uh-huh.
it's got nowhere to go. Now it's got to go through the court system to get to where you want it to go, whether it's spouses usually are joint on a house, but maybe to the kids and those things. So that's number one, the probate after you're gone, but there's also what they call a living probate. And a living probate is if you become incapacitated and you don't have your power of attorney, you don't have your medical directives,
mm-hmm.
now your family is in court asking a judge, you know, about making medical treatment decisions and potentially even end-of-life decisions that, you know, that you haven't planned for. So it is one of those things that you want to do ahead of time.
Okay. Now, give us the approximate date and time when the book will be out, and then you guys are going to send me mine and stuff, too, right?
Yes, you will get your copy. I'll even sign it for you if you want.
Oh, of course. I want an attorney's signature.
my
book.
As long as it's not on a subpoena or a lawsuit,
no
right?
No kidding.
So protecting your family from probate and long-term care costs, it's kind of a consolidation of all my years of work and what mistakes people have made and how to protect assets if someone ends up in a long-term care situation, because the cost of long-term care is so expensive nowadays. There are options out there like veterans benefits, there's a nursing home Medicaid, there's a lot of things that we can focus on to help our clients get the benefits that they deserve.
Mm-hmm.
So that is coming out in October, and I will be very glad to send you a copy.
Okay, excellent. And then after I review it and everything, I'm going to have to call you back because, you know, things happen and you just want to know stuff. And that's
as long as you give me a good review.
Of course, Glenn, of course. You know, I definitely am happy to have your expertise and knowledge, and of course I will. Unless it's not good.
No, it'll be good. I think you'll like it. And it's written in plain English. It's not written like lawyers write. It's written in plain English.
Well, I'm looking forward to receiving it. Now, for people to find out more about the book and what you do, even though you are in Detroit, you answer questions all over the place. How can they get in touch?
So we have a couple ways to get in touch, but probably the best way is through the website. And we've got lots of videos. They're animated videos about the topics we talked about today. But that website is MichiganEstatePlans.com. So Michigan, EstatePlans.com. And there's a lot of helpful information on there. And I think people get a lot of the basic information, and then if there are more detailed questions, because a lot of these questions are private, very family specific, they certainly can call or send me an email right through the website, and I'm glad to help.
Okay, super. Glenn, thank you so much, and it's been good talking to you, and this was really great information. I appreciate so much your valuable time, okay?
Sharon, it's a pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye. That was Glenn, elder law and estate attorney certified and all that, Glenn Machen in Michigan. And that queen had a lot of money for it to be written down on something stuffed under the sofa. Lord, wish she'd have knew me. Hey, queen. Anyway, let's take a time out and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay?